Humanity Chats, a conversation about everyday issues that impact humans. Join us. Together, we can go far.
Welcome. I'm your hostess with the mostest. Margie Marge is my name. This is Humanity Chats, where we get together and talk about everyday issues that impact humans. Today, we are indeed talking about an issue that truly impacts all of us. We are going to be talking about refugees. We have representatives from the World Relief Services who will be talking to us. We have two folks here, Brandon Bond. Brandon is the office director of World Relief Upstate South Carolina. He has been the office director for the World Relief Upstate since 2021 and returned to the United States after nearly 15 years working in community and educational development in Pakistan and Indonesia. His time in Pakistan was spent drinking chai and managing a mobile literacy school program for nomadic groups in Pakatumkua. In Indonesia, he spent four years working as the program director for refugee education program in Jakarta. In this role, he had the privilege of supporting a national and refugee team in providing safe learning spaces for children, youth, and adults from Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, and Somalia. Brandon holds a master's degree from Columbia University's Teachers College in International Educational Development. Originally from Ohio, he now lives in Greenville with his wife and three children. Now we have Matthew, who is the Vice President of Advocacy and Policy for World Relief. Matthew serves as the Vice President, as I initially said. He is also the National Coordinator for the Evangelical Immigration Table, a coalition that advocates for immigration reforms consistent with biblical values, led by World Relief, along with partners like the National Association of Evangelicals, the National Latino Evangelical Coalition, the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and various other national Christian organizations. Matthew is the co-author of three books, including Welcoming the Stranger and Ilan Inalienable, all by InterVarsity Press. He is a graduate of Wheaton College, where he has also served as a guest faculty member in the Humanitarian and Disaster Leadership Program. He also earned a master's degree from DePaul University School of Public Service. He lives in Illinois with his wife, Diana, and their four children. You know, we are going to learn about refugees and how we can welcome strangers. So without much further ado, we are going to bring Brandon and Matthew into the house. As you know, I am Margie Marge, your hostess with the mostest, and I like to discuss social issues. My books, The Shimmigrant, which talks about a young immigrant from Ghana, West Africa, touches on how to welcome strangers. And so I am thrilled that we get to have this conversation. Hold on tight. We're going to go to that green room and we will bring you Matthew and Brandon. This is Humanity Chats. Welcome to the chats.
It's great to be with you.
Hello, great to be here.
Yes, great to see you, Brandon and Matt. Now, before we even get into the conversation, I know that our listeners would love to learn more about World Refugee and what you do. So, Matthew, would you take that for us?
Sure. So World Relief is a global Christian humanitarian organization. We've been around about 80 years now and have operated in about 100 different countries over that time, including in communities around the United States, like there in upstate South Carolina, where We work with lots of local churches and other community partners to welcome refugees and provide support to other immigrants as they adjust to life in a new community.
Adjusting into the community, as I think about adjustment into the community, I think about what is going on in our world right now and how immigration is such a hot topic. What are some of the things that you do to help refugees adjust into the community, Brandon?
Yeah, it's a great question, because when we see these global events play out, it really does have a local impact. And a lot of times we don't see that necessarily if we're not really the ones engaging with refugees. But as we see issues like the fall of Afghanistan, as we see the war in Ukraine break out, we do see those individuals who flee that persecution or flee that war coming to places like Greenville and Spartanburg counties. The services that we provide really are to help them just walk alongside them, to equip them, and to help them integrate in the community here. A lot of that is just providing initial kind of core services, things like access to affordable housing and helping them secure leases, helping them access benefits, connecting them with English learning opportunities. But a big part of what we do in World Relief and what makes us unique in this area is our intentionality with the church. And we really do see that the church plays a critical role in creating that welcoming community to actually have individuals, volunteers, churches, but also different community organizations to create those relationships so that they don't just come here and find that initial safety, but they're able to create that community, enter relationships, and have friendships that help them really feel like they're at home.
Feeling at home is so important, and creating community is vital to our communities thriving. Matthew, what is the difference between refugees and other forms of immigration? Because I know sometimes people get confused.
Sure. Yeah. A refugee is a specific immigration is sort of the larger term. It's just someone from one country gone to reside in another country. Refugees within that category are a smaller subset of immigrants who are defined by the reason that they had to leave their country. So under both U.S. law and international law, a refugee is someone who has left their country because of a well-founded fear of persecution that is specifically on account of their race, their religion, their political opinion, their national origin, or their membership in a particular social group. And that's, of course, there's other immigrants who leave for economic reasons or, to be closer to family or for any number of understandable reasons, but that persecution dynamic is what defines a refugee. And it is a huge number of people around the world. The best estimates of the United Nations are that there's about 35 million people around our world who meet that legal definition of a refugee.
Wow, so many people who have been displaced. When you live in your new normal, you probably don't even think about people who are suffering from war or just have to escape their countries because of the conditions that are not favorable. What is the refugee process, both internationally and nationally, Brandon?
Yeah, so it's a very long process. Refugees coming into the United States are among the most vetted and checked, their background checks and everything. And that process initially begins when they cross their country into another country, typically a border country. They will apply for refugee status with the UNHCR, United Nations High Commission for Refugees. And that begins that refugee journey. And each journey is different and unique. When we were working with refugees in Jakarta, many had come from places like Afghanistan. They had arrived there. They had applied for that refugee status. And the process that the UN goes through to vet them and to kind of verify that their story checks can be anywhere from, 6 months to 2 years or more. And then when they get that status, that puts them on a path where they may be resettled to what we call a final destination country, a country like the US or Canada, different places. Because countries that are the transition countries often do not have that pathway to citizenship. They don't have long-term solutions. So refugees then enter that kind of state of limbo where they're in immediate safety, generally, from that, at least that initial persecution. But there's no future. There's no clarity on where their kids can go to school. There's no pathway to citizenship. Often getting jobs is illegal in that context. And so they're really just waiting to be resettled to places like the United States. But that journey itself can often be many, many years. And it's really just the lucky few that get to a place like the United States. Less than 1% are resettled to that final destination country each year from that number that Matt gave of 35 million. And then that process, so we work with a lot of Congolese here, people from the Democratic Republic of Congo in Greenville, South Carolina. For them, that journey includes being in a refugee camp, waiting for that vetting process to take place. Once they're cleared and the U.S. has also done their background checks and vetting and they're invited to come in, then that's where, you know, we can step in and meet them at the airport and then begin that process of supporting them in their transition here. But with the Congolese as one example, that journey, when we look at, you know, the date from which they fled their country to the date they arrive in the United States is on average more than 10 years, that vetting process, that background check and that waiting. So we see these individuals, we see these children coming in, you know, 5, 6 years old, and the only life they've really known is life in transition, life as that refugee waiting for resettlement. And it's a privilege then to be able to be, you know, a group welcoming them to that next big stage of their journey.
So, and this question is for Matthew. Are asylum seekers also considered as refugees?
Yeah, it's a great question. We hear a lot about asylum seekers in the news right now. So asylum seekers, the best way to understand this are people who reach the United States and profess to meet the definition of a refugee. But unlike a refugee who the U.S. government has verified in that third country, so let's say someone from the Democratic Republic of Congo who was in Tanzania, or someone from Syria who was in Jordan, or from Burma who was in Thailand, the U.S. government would verify that they meet that legal definition, that they have a well-founded fear of persecution while they're in that second country, do their vetting process, and then bring them over on an airplane. An asylum seeker is someone who wasn't necessarily invited to the United States. They made their own way here, whether walking to a border or on a temporary visa, like a tourist visa or student visa. And once here or once at the border of the country, and you have to make it that far to begin an asylum request, they basically tell the U.S. government, I am afraid of persecution because of one of these reasons. And U.S. law, following international law, says that if you can prove that, with documentary evidence, you should be allowed to stay. Well, the U.S. has committed not to send people back to situations where there is a well-founded fear of persecution for those reasons. If you can't prove that, and of course not everyone has the documents to prove that claim, then in many cases they would be deported. But that can take a long time. The average time in an immigration court in the United States to get a decision on an asylum claim is about 4.5 years right now.
Wow, that is a long time. Now, thank you for answering that question. Brandon, when I was growing up, I'm originally from Ghana, West Africa. And when I was growing up, we had refugee camps where we would have people coming from war-torn countries like Liberia to settle in Ghana. Now, is that considered as part of the refugee process where people could be vetted from those refugee camps and they would make eventually to the United States?
I don't know those camps specifically, but typically, individuals who are in those camps are also in that waiting process. So they are registered with UNHCR. Each country provides different services. There's different levels of support to refugees in that time of transition. But yes, those are the kinds of people and communities that are waiting for that process to come to the United States or other permanent resettlement countries.
So thank you. As we're talking about resettlement countries and welcoming them, Matthew, could you tell us a little bit more about the Welcoming Stranger event that is going to be going on in the upstate?
Yeah, you know, Brandon described this process for refugees arriving in the country, and then World Relief's role starts when a family actually arrives. We want to help them adjust to life, meet all those basic needs, housing, access to education, jobs. But we really can't do that on our own. We do that in close partnership with the local community. And local churches in particular are a really important part of that process. So one of the goal of this event, it's going to take place in really soon, Saturday, October 21st, at North Hills Church in Taylors, South Carolina, between 9 a.m. and noon. And we'll have a number of speakers, particularly for those coming from a Christian perspective, wanting to understand how do they think, you know, from the lens of their faith about this complicated issue of refugee resettlement and immigration. Our goal is to answer some of the questions that there are and really remind people, especially, you know, it's not a surprise that this becomes like a complicated political issue, especially in a state like South Carolina, where you have primary elections. But our goal is to remind people that this is, first of all and foremost, a human issue. It's an issue that, for those of us who are Christians, should be rooted in our belief systems, in our faith. And so the goal of this conversation at North Hills Church will really be to help people think, not from a political perspective, or certainly not from a partisan perspective, but how do we think from a biblical perspective, from a human perspective, about these dynamics of refugees and migration?
The dynamics of refugees and migration. Oftentimes we hear a lot about illegal immigration. And so I believe that this is an opportunity for people to learn about the differences between refugees that are settled here versus folks that may cross the border illegally.
Yeah, we'll have opportunity to address some of those different categories and, again, and also hear from some people who've had these experiences themselves to have sort of that first person perspective that I think for me, having friends, as you're mentioning, the, camps in Ghana, I've had friends from Liberia who spent time in some of those camps in Ghana before they eventually made it to the U.S. And they also have relatives who didn't make it, who stayed many years there and ended up back in Liberia eventually when it was safe to go back. But those stories, I think, for me, have been very transformative personally. Just have friends and, hear from individuals who've lived through that. And that's part of what we'll be able to do on October 21st there at North Hills Church as well. And so if people want to register, if they go to the World Relief Upstate website, that's the easiest way to do that. Just so we know how many people to expect. It's worldrelief.org/upstate-sc. And you'll see a banner near the top for the event.
What a great program, and especially during these times for them to for people to learn about how to welcome strangers and into our midst, because of course the Bible tells us that by entertaining strangers we will maybe entertaining angels unawares. Now there are people in the community who may want to get involved or help. What are some of the things that they could do? Brandon,
I can just, to our area specifically, there's a wide range of ways that people can contribute and come alongside World Relief as we walk alongside refugees. There's obviously, people can donate furniture, other kinds of donations as part of what we do is helping them set up apartments and new homes. Again, creating that, sense of home for them. Individuals can also volunteer in a number of ways as ESL tutors, as friendship partners in the upstate here specifically. Transportation is a challenge. And so in those early days, not forever, but in those early days, just helping them get to some medical appointments, taking them to the grocery store for the first time to go shopping, really just kind of helping them navigate their new communities. And then those who are in churches or those who are in different community groups can also pull together some of their friends and some others to create volunteer teams. And this is where we really see kind of that the fulfillment of creating that whole community in which your refugee can really feel like they have friends, connections, and feel like they're part of, upstate and Greenville and Spartanburg counties here.
Being part of a community, that is so important. Matthew, nationally, how can people support? We want to be able to support nationally and locally.
Yeah. And even frankly, even beyond nationally, there's all sorts of ways to be involved beyond the United States as well, because this issue is, we are really eager to welcome those who are able to come to the United States. But one of the things we love to do at World Relief is come alongside churches and community partners in other parts of the world who are responding to very large numbers of people who've been displaced. So for right now, for example, our staff in Chad are very, very busy with large numbers of people who've had to flee Sudan in recent months. Or our program in Ukraine is, of course, responding to the situation there. So I'd say, if there's people watching, listening from other parts of the country, there may be other opportunities to be involved in welcoming refugees. World Relief has locations in various parts of the country. And then other people can be involved is in terms of advocacy, reaching out to elected officials and encouraging them to pursue public policies that that continue to have a robust refugee resettlement process that ensures that our country continues to be a refuge for those fleeing from persecution.
Fleeing from persecution. Listeners, together we can go far. And as we share stories, we realize that we have more in common than the differences that we have. We talk about things and we realize that, oh, we might all like maybe soccer, or we may all have a passion for a play or a book. There are so many things that bind us rather than divide us. And so we have to work continuously to help people feel welcome in our midst. Mental health is a big issue. When folks are suffering, it leads to further deterioration. It could even lead to additional mishaps or a bad behavior. And so when we welcome each other and uplift each other, we make our communities better. Brandon, could you please spell out your website again so that folks can go for additional information?
Yeah, so that's worldrelief.org/upstate-sc.
Well, folks, you heard the website, and go on the Humanity Herald. We're going to have a write-up about the Welcoming Strangers event. You can find all that information there, or go to the World Relief website. Donate, donate, donate. It's not just about your financial resources. It's also your talent, your heart. Just welcome people. You may not have the money to donate, but you may have the skill where you could help be a translator, or you may have some furniture where you're thinking maybe you're going to be getting new furniture. Hey, please think about World Relief. They are a service that is providing humanity with a much, much needed support. Matthew, before we wrap up, do you have anything that you'd like for our listeners to know?
I think you've covered it so well, Margie. We really appreciate the opportunity to share the work that we're doing at World Relief. And, I think, and about this event coming up as well on October 21st, we hope a lot of people will join us.
Well, you heard, if you're a local in the upstate area, October 21st, remember, you are heading to the church. Is it North Hills?
That's right.
Yes, guys. Read up, learn more. Go support, be a part of community. Let's go smiling. Let's go extending a hand in friendship. And if you are listening from any of our 1,000+ cities, worldrelief.org is the website that you have to visit to learn more about this human organization. Thank you so much to our listeners. Join us next week. We always have an interesting topic that connects all of us, because guess what? Together, we can go far. From Matthew, Brandon, and myself, Margie March, we say thanks for joining us, and let's keep loving on each other. This has been Humanity Chats.
Thank you for listening. Share with a friend. We are humans from all around the world, one kind only, and that is humankind. Your friend, Margie March.